Aren't you glad he's alive? Well, Jesus is alive. You know, there's a lot of evidence that he's alive. As a matter of fact, in any court in America, it would stand up to be true that Jesus is alive. You know, we could bring, according to my guesstimate statistics here, this may not be exactly right, but it's close, that we could bring 552 people to testify that they saw Jesus after the resurrection. They saw him alive. Now, I want to tell you, any court in America, 552 people line up to say, I saw him, he's alive, there would be truth. It'd be recognized truth there. 13 different occasions. It's just more than one. 13 different occasions people witnessed him alive on earth after the resurrection. I want to tell you, people that choose not to believe the resurrection are choosing to believe a lie. Because the truth, it's not just theory, it's more than theory, it's factual. But it's more than factual, it's the truth. It's the Word of God. Okay, and the Word of God is a greater reality than a fact. But I want to tell you, the facts line up. And we could spend a lot of time on that this Sunday. I've done it in the past, but this morning I'm going to go a little bit different direction, but about the truth of the resurrection. How does it affect us now? Because this truth can change your life now and for all eternity. Some of the greatest proofs that he's alive are right here in the building this morning. They're the lives that I can point to all over this building of people that have been transformed because of the resurrection life of Jesus. There are no perfect people here. Let me make that clear. If you're looking for a perfect church, this is not it. If you find a perfect church, don't go there. You'll mess it up. But really and truly, there are no perfect people here. But there are people here that know they're forgiven. That's worth a lot. To know in your knower that you're forgiven. There are people here that know that they are loved. I want to tell you, when you know that you know that you know, that you're loved, and that nothing, you're personally convinced that nothing can separate you from his love, not even yourself, not even your messes, that is worth more than money. Let me tell you something else that's evidence of him that are in the, I like to call many of these here trophies of grace because, hey, by the world standard, at one time at least, we were being considered just a negative, a down and out, a miss, a nobody, but because of Jesus, hey, we're a daughter of the living King and a son of the living King. Amen. And I want to tell you what he does in your life is absolutely just transform. It transforms us. His power does. But I want to tell you something people have here that a lot of the world cannot give you and you cannot buy with all the money in the world is peace. I want to tell you, peace is worth so much. And Jesus is peace. And when you receive him, I'm telling you that power of the resurrection comes in and gives you amazing peace that is beyond understanding. Let me say it this way. It's peace that doesn't even make sense. But because it's Christ and it's real and it's supernatural, it comes from the invisible and not the visible. It's amazing. Well, there are changed people here that are still being changed. Because God's not through with any of us yet. Okay? We're being changed by Jesus' very life. And that's part of the resurrection power that fits in 2018 for you. Now, this is a great day of tradition. And religion all over the world is celebrating the resurrection Christ. If they believe and point to Christ, and there's a lot of traditions that line up with this day. And I'm not against tradition, but I have a warning to you about tradition that comes from Jesus himself. He said, be aware because your traditions can cause the Word of God, the message, to be weak. It can weaken. Because there's a tendency for humans to focus on a formula and not on the person of Jesus. There's a tendency for us to want to look at steps or look at something that we can do to make it so, but that can become routine. It become a rut. A rut is nothing more than a grave with the ends knocked out. I'm telling you, it's possible. Now, if a tradition that you and your family enjoy or that you personally enjoy that points you to Jesus, tenderizes your heart toward the Lord, helps you enjoy the presence of the Lord, so be it. But just be aware that sometimes we trade the personal fellowship, which is what Christ wants, personal relationship with you, with a tradition. The real message behind the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the story of Jesus, and he's inviting you to become a part of his story. That's the real message behind the resurrection. And because of the crucifixion and the resurrection, it can be so. Through the cross, through the resurrection, Jesus made real and available every promise declared in the Bible. He put his yes on it. He earned it for us. We don't qualify. I don't care how good your list of do's and don'ts is, or how long it is, or how many goody tutu shoes you have. It's not enough. Bible's real clear. We all fall far short. Even the best of the best fall short. Okay? But with Jesus, because of his righteousness, he took our sin and he gives us the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. It's not something we earn, but this is something that he does to cause us to have a real relationship with God. And this is real. It's personal. Can I say this? It's personal. You may say, well, my grandparents had a real walk with God. That don't count for you. It can influence you. It can pave a path for you. Okay, they can pass down a heritage to you, but it's got to be personally received. You say, well, my mama has a walk with God. My mama's a praying woman. Well, praise God for that. But I want to tell you, hey, we are each on our own. Let me say it to you like this. God doesn't have grandkids. Okay? It's personal. Jesus wants it to be real. And it will be real for everyone that receives him as Lord and Savior. Romans 8. Let's look at this. Romans 8, 10 and 11. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that he imputes to you. Now, verse 11 says, if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, if you catch this, and I'm just going to tell you this real quickly. I don't have time to. I could preach for a week on this, and the people that come here regularly know I could. I won't. The Bible teaches that we receive Christ as Lord, and that's something that everyone here can do today. That when we receive Christ as Lord and Savior, Christ by the Holy Spirit, verse 10 says, actually comes to live inside of us. You say, well, I don't know, I can't explain. Well, it's all right. We operate even in the natural realm of faith. In things that we don't understand. I can't explain electricity, can't really explain how the mighty Red Hawk, the little pickup out there, works, but I tell you, it doesn't keep me from turning it on. Amen. Mashing the pedal, amen. But I'm here to tell you something. The Bible teaches that when you receive Christ, the Spirit of the living Christ actually comes to dwell in you, in your spirit. Okay? Look at verse 11. The very Spirit of Jesus that raised Jesus from the dead, resurrection power, dwells in you. Now, this means that we're connected to him. And he's connected to us. You can't feel it in your soul because your spirit, even though it's inside of you, it's not, your spirit can't be touched with the emotions or the five senses. Okay? As a matter of fact, the Bible says we worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he's in your spirit. But here's the thing. There's a divine connection. Now, I need all of us to say that term, divine connection. Divine connection. Amen. Let's say it one more time. Divine connection. Because that's what happens to a person when they receive Christ. Resurrection life comes in. In your spirit, the Spirit of God dwells in there and He changes you from the inside out. Resurrection life means changed people and changed living. If you claim to know Christ and there's never been a change in your life and there's never been changed living in your life, you really don't know Him. Because the Bible says, unless a man become converted, he shall not enter the kingdom of God. And the word converted means a change of a source of power. At one time, Tim Hall was in charge. But when I gave myself to Christ, Christ came in. And there's a real, undeniable source of power. He's real. He's in me. It's Jesus. Amen. Now, Jesus changes lives. Part of the testimony of Jesus is that He raises things from death to life. That's what resurrection is. And you know what? This has been a truth in the heart of God for people all along. As a matter of fact, we celebrate Father Abraham. This was in the Old Testament. We celebrate Father Abraham for being a man of faith because God spoke life to him where in his life there was death. It actually was a healing because in his body and in his wife's body there was death. And his hope could not be fulfilled because of death in his body. And God comes along and tells him a word of faith that I'm going to give you children. As a matter of fact, I'm calling you Abraham, which means father of nations. And with his eyes and by man's standard, it was impossible. Impossible. Everybody understand impossible? There may be some things in your life that doctors have said or people have said it's impossible for you. God loves the word impossible. Abraham believed God and versus what his feelings said, what his body felt like, what his body said, what other people were saying, he believed God. And he believed God, and there was a miracle that took place. And literally today, we can point to nations that go back to Abraham. So what's your story? Are you experiencing death in this life? Because I want to tell you, this life brings death. Different measures, different forms, different parts of us. Are you experiencing death? What about this? Brokenness. Do you have an achy, breaky heart? I don't say that lightly because I've had one before. Okay? How about different kind of hurts? The world say sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. That's a lie. I've dealt with too many people that can go back in their history, back in their time, to words that a teacher said or their parents said or a coach said that wounded them. Hurts, wounds, rejection, disappointments, depression, loneliness. I could go on and on. May not have named yours today, but I want to tell you, Jesus knows it. And He died for us to get free from it. Amen. Jesus paid the price and won for us the yes from God. And what that means is that the promise of God, Jesus paid the price on the cross. That's what He did. He won the yes for you. And so the need that you have in your life, whether it's in your emotional part of your being, in your soul, or whether it's even in your body, Jesus has paid the price for you to have a yes from God. Amen. See, there's a lot of people that say, well, I know God can because He can do anything, but I don't know if He will. Well, I want to tell you, your report card does not disqualify you from receiving from God. You come to Jesus, you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, we get to operate off Jesus' report card and not ours. He took ours on the cross and gave us His, which means it's the yes from God. He imputed to us His righteousness. And so we get what we get from God because of Jesus' righteousness, not ours. Now that's good news. So He paid the price for us. He has good plans for you. Plans that restore what the enemy has stolen. Now, if you've been here for any amount of time on planet Earth for very long, you know that there's an enemy out there and there's been some things stolen from your life. Jesus said, my plan. I have come to restore what the enemy has stolen. John 10:10, look at this. The thief, which is the enemy, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and enjoy life. Did you get that? The Zoe life of God, the resurrection life of Jesus, he gives to us when we come to him, and it's life that not only is good for you, but you can enjoy it. I want to say this to you. The resurrection life of Jesus, walking with Jesus, brings you a life that you can enjoy. Can you say that? I'm telling you, it's true. And enjoy life and have it in the abundance. Not just a touch. Not just a chill bump run up and down your spine a couple of times a year. Not just even on Sunday, but he's talking about 24/7. He's talking about an abundance of life to the full till it overflows. That's how we could say, even with the 23rd Psalm with David, that my cup runneth over, because that's what happens when you walk with a shepherd. You can testify, your cup runneth over. Does it mean that you don't have any problems? No, doesn't mean that. We live on earth, a real battlefield, but the truth is that Jesus can cause your heart to run over even in the midst of your enemies. He sets a table before you even in the middle of your enemies. That's how precious he is. That's how much he wants to love us. And when we receive Christ, we're born again. He comes into our life, our spirit. And that spirit is rebirthed. Old spirit dies, new spirit's rebirth. And we literally go from that moment on, we go from spiritual death to spiritual life. In our soul, we still got a mess. Because there's emotional death, there's wounds, hurts, memories. How many of us are haunted by memories? But I'm going to tell you, God has good plans. He wants to restore what the enemy has stolen. And when God restores something, he doesn't just make it back the same. No, 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 no. Hey, the picture in Scripture is that he brings 4 times, 7 times, many times more than what the enemy has stolen, he repays. Is that a beautiful picture? God has good plans for you. His love and power is available to heal broken hearts. I want to tell you, a broken heart can be like a stop sign in a dead-end street, which means that you cannot make progress and go further until that heart is healed. And part of the declaration of Jesus in the New Testament, he quotes from the Old Testament and says this, I have come to bind up. That word bind up is a medical term. I've come to bind up the brokenhearted and set free those who have been made captive. Now I want to tell you, there are people here who have been made captive by memories, by abuse, by things that have happened in your past, by disappointments. But I want to tell you, Jesus said, I've come to bind up the broken heart and set free, liberty, those who have been made captive. That's what the enemy does. Jesus sets us free. His love and power is available to heal broken hearts this morning. That's his love in action. You know what that is? That's testimony of resurrection power, because he loves to continually change our lives. You're changed immediately when you come to Christ in your spirit. And then in your soul and your body, it's a progressive, continual change that he does. And he says that we will experience that change when we renew our mind, get this, with the word of God, we're transformed. So this is why a Christian has got to be a Bible-walking, Bible-talking, Bible-believing person. Okay? Because when we renew our mind with the Word of God, the Bible says that we're transformed in our soul. We become more and more progressively like Him. That's what the Bible calls maturity. That's what the Bible calls growing. And that's His desire for us. Hey, all over this room, there are testimonies of resurrection power that's continually changing lives. You know what we hear every year right here at New Beginnings? This is not a large church, but this is what we hear every year. We hear about God restoring families. God does that. He's for the family. Okay? We hear about God healing relationships. Husband and wife, friend to friend. I want to tell you, God can set you free from the unforgiveness, the bitterness, the rejection, the the unforgiveness that's in us. He can break those blockages, and He can set you free to love again. That's how powerful He is. He restores relationships, brings new life to marriages, friendships. That's what He loves. He loves to heal. He loves to restore what the enemy has stolen. Now, there's also a physical death. His presence, His love, His power provides healing for the body. Now, you can look at me and understand that I don't know all about this, but I've left the line of scrimmage. You know what the Bible says? Hey, the Bible presents that we're to be learners. And that He wants to teach us how to walk in all the blessing that He won for us. He's won so much for us that we don't even recognize yet. That's part of the adventure between here and heaven, is to learn and to grow and to operate in all the blessings He has for us. That abundant life that He described. And so, on the cross and through the resurrection, remember, we're connected to Him. The Bible puts it like this, that we're in Him and He's in us. And so the Bible talks about His Spirit being right here in us. I'm telling you, one third of me, spirit, soul, and body, in the Spirit, and same with you, if you received Christ, you're one third completely full of Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? Wow. It also says that we're in Him and He's in us, and His position at this time, and according to Scripture, is He's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and His Spirit is here working with us. But in that position on the right hand of the Father, He declares that we're in Him. Now, His position at the right hand of the Father is a position of overcoming, of victory. And so, actually, we get to enjoy the victory that Jesus is and that He's won in this life, 2018. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience victory and overcoming. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that He's called us in this life to be an overcomer, and a more than overcomer, a victorious one. That's what He's called us to do, to be. But it's through that connection in Him. It's not by our works. It's being connected to Him. But this is what the Bible says. When we're connected to Him, that through Christ, get this, all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. Well, Brother Tim, what about the impossible? What the doctor said this is impossible or incurable. Well, what about this? This relationship's been dead for so long. Or what about, you know, I've been hurt for so long that I'll never change. I want to tell you, in Christ, the divine connection in Him, all things are possible to them that believe. Amen. Romans 1, 17 and 18. This is where John saw Jesus, and I want you to see what Jesus said about Himself. Because what He said about Himself to John counts for now. Verse 17, when I saw Him, John saw Jesus, this is in heaven, he saw Jesus. He said, I fell at His feet as if I were dead. But He laid His right hand on me and said, don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. That's powerful. I'd love to stay there, but I got to go on. He said, I am the living one. I died, but look. This is what He said to John, but look. You know what we prayed for? The pastoral team prayed for you this morning. It's a prayer that Paul put in Scripture that he prayed for people, and it goes like this. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open. Amen. You see, it's not through the physical. Yeah. It's through here. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be open, that you may see Him as He is. Amen. I had a man in Oklahoma that I went to minister to one time and told me, I read about your God. He's mean as hell. No. You don't have understanding in your heart. Because when your eyes are open and you see, you see that He's a God of love. Amen. Okay? That He loves you. He loves you so much. He loves you too much. And really what He wants is a relationship with you so He can pour out His love on you. But He's proved His love to you. This is what God wants. He wants you to look today. He told John to look at Him. You know what the Spirit of God is saying today for you? See Jesus. Amen. If you look past me, see Jesus, you'll be drawn to Him. Because when you see Him as He is, He loves you. He paid a price for you. He's the victorious one. He's the overcoming one. And He wants to bless you with what He is. All things are possible. Look at him. He said, but look, this is what he said to him. He said, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. So John sees Jesus. I want you to see Jesus today, the first and the last, before and after. You put your faith in him. And I want to tell you, faith is not a mysterious thing. You know what it is? It's on the inside of you saying yes. It's a positive response to what God is or what God has said. Positive response is choosing him, saying yes to him. But he has the keys to set you free from all forms of death. Do you get this? He told John, I have the keys. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's alive forevermore. He has the keys. You know what? He won them for us. What are the keys for? They're for us. Keys unlock things that we need. Jesus has the key. John 10:10, again, look at this. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. And all the people said, amen. You see, that's what new life is. That's what freedom life is. Things in our life that seem dead. You got areas, arenas, rooms in your life that seem dead, that seem closed. I want to tell you, Jesus can open those doors. When we're in partnership with him, and partnership is, it's a Bible term that talks about that when we're in union with him, or in other words, when we're submitted and surrendered to him, if you're determined to go your own way and do your own thing, you'll completely miss. Because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But when we're submitted and surrendered to him, with him, because of his love and power in our life, we see resurrection life. Get this, in dead areas of our life, he can bring new life to them. That's something only God can do. A psychiatrist cannot do that. Psychologist cannot do that. Any counselor cannot do that, but God can. This is present day Easter. It's in the lives of people saying, submitting and surrendering to him and letting Jesus take the keys and open up new life in their life. He invites you to let his story be an active part of your story. You see, you try to create a good story, and what does your life read? When you try to create a good story on your own, I want to tell you, it becomes a soap opera. It may become a horror story. Okay? It can be sad. I'm talking about tears in the beer sad. But I want to tell you, he wants you to let his story be an active part of your story. And the way that happens is that you take the pen of your life and you hand it to him. And let him write you in to his story. Because his story is about forgiveness. His story is love. His story is peace. His story is peace. His joy. His love. You know what? It's overcoming. It's victorious. And when you let him write you into his story, you're a winner. This is what he invites you to do. He wants to involve you in his love and power. I want to tell you, there's an example. When Jesus was walking around on earth, he had some good friends, Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. They were a sweet family, and he loved this family. They were good friends. And while he was off preaching and teaching, Lazarus all of a sudden died. And death seems like the end. Hey, I'm saying this to you because there may be some areas in your life that the enemy's whispering to you and saying, it's too late. Yeah. It's done. Can't be undone. It's been dead, always been dead for a number of years or whatever seasons have passed, and you know, it's just nothing that can be done. It's too late for Jesus. The enemy tries to say that. The sisters thought this too. They were weeping. They were miserable. They were worked up. They were disturbed. They were disappointed. They were grieving. They were disappointed in God because they felt like and told Jesus, if you would have been here, you could have done something. There's a lot of people on this earth that are saying, well, why did God let this happen? Well, I want to tell you, they forget that the Bible teaches there is an enemy out there that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus is not coming to steal, kill, and destroy. He's coming to restore. And so you're pointing your finger in the wrong direction. But this is what happened with Lazarus. Too late. He's been dead 3 days. Humanly, it may seem like that way to you. Because people may whisper, and you may hear the whisper in your mind, it's impossible. I'll always be this way. It'll never change. You ever heard that? Listen, Jesus loves the word impossible. Because he loves to show his love and his power in what people call impossible. He loves to show himself mighty in the lives of people. That's what God loves to do. He's full of loving kindness. He's full of mercy and loving kindness. That's what God loves. And so he brings resurrection life to dead areas in our life. Now look, Lazarus was not just dead. He was stinking dead, okay? And I say that, it's kind of funny to me, but he had been dead for 3 days, and they told him it's too late, he stinks. They were telling a fact. But this is why I'm telling you that the Bible has a greater reality than human facts. A greater reality. And the greater reality is that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And he told the sisters this. He told them, matter of fact, let's look at it. John 11:25-26. Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me, hey, let's all say divine connection. It's there. You see, it's not just knowing about Jesus. It's not just going to church a time or two a year. It's having a living divine connection with him. That's what salvation is. And look, this is what he says. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. And then he gets specific. He said, do you believe this, Martha? Now I want to say something. He's the resurrection and the life. You know, there's a real question this morning that comes out like this. Do you believe? It's good that your grandparents believe, or your mama believes, or your daddy believes, but do you believe? Do you believe? Okay? Jesus did this. He said, Lazarus, come forth! Now listen, if he hadn't called Lazarus names, because he is resurrection and life, the whole graveyard would have come out. Now I want to tell you, Jesus is calling people today to his life. But you know what you need to hear? You need to hear Jesus call your name. Because we can present all kind of case scenarios. Well, I'm probably okay and I'm not as bad as other people. But no, no, no. It's not by our works. It's not by your righteousness. We're not to compare ourselves by ourselves. It's between you and God. And you need Jesus to call your name. And I believe he is. But are you listening? Because you hear the Lord call your name today, he's calling you to life. If you've believed to receive, you'll never die. There may come a time where you're separated from this body. Remember, spirit, soul, and body. You may be separated from the body, but the promise of Scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If you know Christ. To be present with the Lord, being connected to him, being a part of him. I want to tell you something. T. Hall will never die. They may come tell you one day, hey, T. Hall died. I want you to say this. Look him straight in the eye and say, you lied. He didn't die. He's more alive than ever before. He's feeling better than ever before. More joy, more love, more celebration than ever before. And I want to tell you, you can also say this, and he's got a brand new body. I'm looking forward to that. You see me in heaven, you know what you're going to say? T. Hall, you be looking good. And I'll say, yes, I am, like a real saint should. I be looking good, and I be feeling good. Didn't the Lord do a good job? Because this is what he's promised. Okay? Hey, my spirit's been complete saved. My soul is being saved. And one day, my body will be saved. Can I explain all that? No, but I am looking forward to it. John 14, 19. This is what Jesus said. He said, just a little while now, and the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. See, he was talking about a different day. He was talking about heaven. You will see me because I live, you will live also. Divine connection. Isn't that amazing? Jesus was and he is. He's overcoming and he is our overcoming. His story changes our story when we receive him as Lord and Savior. That's what the cross and resurrection made available for us. The life of Jesus affects our lives. So I can say to you, if you've received Christ, especially if you're cooperating with him and walking with him, you've been changed and you're still being changed. That's the great testimony of a believer, because a believer is believing. Today, he's on the throne. The Bible says we're connected, and by his Spirit, we're in him, he's in us. This is real. I want to tell you, hey, there's people all around you that are living proof of this. Right now living, that he heals broken hearts. You had loss in your life, pain, his love is available for you. You know what Jesus says? Come to him. This life on earth. I'm telling you, life on earth by itself in the natural brings real death. Because this is a battle zone. This is not heaven. Okay? Hey, you're looking at a guy who's experienced death and darkness in this life. But you know what? I'm also a living testimony, as are many here, that the presence of Jesus is real and he's here and his real life is for us and for you. He's the God of restoration. That's something you need to hear today. Because of the resurrection, he's the God of restoration. Have you been through some hurt and pain? You think you're beyond repair? Hey, maybe you've described yourself like this. You feel like you're drowning in failure. I want to tell you, there's good news for you. Let me cover these real quick. Give me just a few minutes here. Number one is this, God reaches out for us. This is why that we're to look at the cross, because we're to identify. He paid for your sin. He took your place. He was raised from the dead. That now your life can be raised to new life because of what Jesus has done. He's on the throne right now. We can overcome because of his victory. His presence and his power in us enable us to rule and reign in this life. That's one of the terms that he uses. To rule and reign in this life. Are you ruling and reigning? That's what Jesus said is for us. The promises of the Bible are yes to us. His story can be your story. Luke 19:10 says this. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. He is seeking you out. This morning, he's seeking you out. Not for harm. People have this mindset, well, I'm not coming to God because he'll whip me because all the things. No. Jesus took your whipping. Now, he took the wrath of God for you so that now you can be received and loved. He's seeking you out, not for harm, but for your good. He's drawing you. Hey, a word I like to use is courting you. You see, he's courting you to himself. Some of you were drug here. Well, it's not an accident that you're here. Some of you may have taken drugs to get here. We have those too. It's okay. We're glad you're here. Because Jesus looks past our mess and he sees you of value. Okay? As a matter of fact, he's choosing you for good. Look, Jesus described three stories back to back to show that you're of value. He described one. So let's all say, I'm the one. See, he said, one sheep he searched for till he found. He said, one coin, treasure, that he searched for till he found. He said, one son that he longed and desired and waited for him to come. And he celebrated. Okay? Hey, you know why I want you to say that I'm the one? Because you are the one. You're the one he's seeking. You're the one he desires. And he paid a high price for you because he loves you. Number two is this, God rescues us. Hey, he loves you from the pig pen. I had a guy tell me on the street that I was sharing Christ with one day, and I'm telling you, he was a mess. He smelled a mess too. But I want to tell you, he's a mess. But he told me, he said, no, I got to get all cleaned up and everything. I get my life all straightened up and all cleaned up, and then I'll come to church. I said, no, man, you're missing it. He loves us from the pig pen. The Bible says, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. It's not by your doing, it's by his doing. Here's the Bible, Romans 5, 8 and 10. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Okay, but since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Jesus, that's what the blood of Jesus did. It forgave us of our sins. He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Look at verse 10. For since our friendship with God, this is what happens when we come to him, we're friends with him, was restored by the death of his son while we were still enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. If he loved you enough to save you while you were lost and in sin, then surely he will give himself to help you from there on out. Our part's to say yes. Now, I'm telling you, that's not having to clean yourself up. That's coming to him just as you are and letting him do his work in you. To say yes with all your heart. Repentance. People are so scared of that word. It means change your mind. Change direction. Look, are you drowning? We talked about drowning. Are you drowning? He's not saying, well, you swim to the shore and we'll see what we can do. No, no, no. That's what the cross is about. It means he comes to right where you are. He comes to you. So don't fight. Surrender. It happens in real life rescues. People that are drowning attack the very ones that are trying to rescue them in their panic, in their mess, in their confusion. I want to tell you, don't fight them. Surrender. He died for us even though we rejected him. He rescued us from wrath and the penalty of sin. We're rescued by his life. Jesus took upon himself your sins, your failures, your weaknesses, so you can be free. Number three, God redeems us. He buys us and he brings us back to him. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold and silver, which loses their value. It was paid for with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. He shed blood to buy you, to purchase you. Now, I want to tell you, I love you. I'm for you. This is a great day for you because you know what? Jesus deserves what he paid for. He wants you. He loves us beyond us. The Bible word justified means just as if I'd never done it. Yeah. Hey, he sees us as if we've never sinned once we accept him. Isn't that beautiful? We're completely accepted. Not like men who say, well, I'll forgive you a tip, but I'm going to watch you now. You do one thing, and it's back on. Yeah. Back on like Donkey Kong. No, it's not like that. With God. He forgives and remembers our sin no more. He chooses not to. He said, there's no, therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Galatians 3 says this, verse 13. God purchased our freedom. Do you see that? He purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law, and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, curses, everyone who hangs on a tree is crucified. Christ redeemed us from the curse. Look, we were all cursed. But Jesus paid the price for us to be redeemed. God restores us. Hey, listen. These first three things happen as soon as you accept Christ. That happens. The fourth one is a lifetime project where God's working on us. He restores us. Okay? He deals with our issues and the stuff in our life that's not Christ-like. And a lot of times he'll pick out one thing at a time and he'll move on us and learn, teach us how to relate to him and connect with him and receive from him to be free from those things. And in the process of that happening, now look, you say, well, you know, there are people that don't do that. Well, that's true. And you know, they get to heaven, it's all taken care of, but they miss out on the purpose of God. They miss out on the desire of God, the adventure of God to work in their life and affect others with their love. He wants to change us. And as we renew our mind with the Word of God, that it's a process for our soul, inner body. And, you know, he's working in me. He proclaims his message or his testimony in his working with us. And it proves to the world that Jesus is real and alive. Because they'll see us and they'll say, hey, you used to so-and-so and you used to so-and-so and this and that. And what happened? It's Jesus. He set me free from that. You see? That's part of the power testimony, the kingdom of God expanding. And he's not finished with us. Look, I know I'm a mess and I know you're a mess too. Even if you don't know it. But the Christian life is about letting Jesus' life, his word and his love, continue to change our lives. That's the adventure. This brings them honor and glory. This is our purpose here while we're left here. If it wasn't for this, then you'd immediately go to heaven as soon as you receive Christ. But he leaves us here because this brings them honor and glory. This proves his reality of others. Now look, you're at a place. I can't say every church is like this, but you're at a place here today where, you know what? We have compassion for your mess. We got compassion for your issues, your junk. Okay? We meet people sometimes that don't think they have an issue. And they tend to not stay around here too long because we practice a lot of openness and honesty and point to reality. But I want to tell you something. If you happen to be here this morning and you think, well, I don't have any issues. Well, you are the issue. Really and truly. Because Jesus came for those who know they have a need. That need a physician, that need a Savior. God's story is about his love. It's about love. That's his story. And he's sticking to it, and we are too. We need to tell others with our lives. See, this is part of receiving the life and living the life, is that our life is to tell others and our words. Man, your words don't mean a lot till you live the life. Amen. His words and his love writes our story. So let's give him the pen this morning. Jesus' story rewrites and changes our story. Everyone that accepts him is evidence of resurrection. Now I want to tell you, we are at the close of this. And so I want you to turn your ears and your heart to the Lord. And as a matter of fact, I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes right now, just to concentrate on the Lord. Don't go to sleep on me. Okay, this is very important. I'm going to ask those that help us pray to come on up and be ready to help us pray for people. Now, I want you to listen very dearly, closely, with all your heart, listen. Do you sense him drawing you to his love? Do you sense him courting you today? It's very vital, very important for you to say yes today. To surrender to him, to repent of your sin. Jesus has paid the price for you, and he's drawing you. You must give Jesus your story and let his story be yours. Let him be Lord. Receive his forgiveness that he paid for. He desires you. Hey, it's personal. It's very personal. You can know him. You can have a relationship with him. There's no better day to receive him than on Resurrection Day. Wow. We're going to pray a prayer of salvation for people. And so I'm going to ask you, you got your head bowed and your eyes closed. Let this be a personal. We're not trying to embarrass anybody. We're just trying to help you with an eternity. Okay, so this is the most important question. If you're here today and you know the Lord's drawing you and you know you need to give your life to Jesus Christ in a real way, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Just up and down. Thank you, thank you. There's some more. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you. Okay. I'm going to ask you to do this. And I'm not embarrassing you, but I'm calling you to surrender to the Lord and let this be personal. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to come up to these precious people that are here to help us pray. These are pastor and wife teams. And just tell them, I need Jesus. And when you do that, they're going to pray for you. And I want to tell you, you can leave today knowing in your knower that you've received Christ. Because he gives a witness to us that he's here. As a matter of fact, if you're here this morning and you don't know if you know, this would be the day for you to come and get this settled. Okay? I want to ask you this. If you're here this morning and you're already a believer, but you're not cooperating with the Lord with that restoration, you're not allowing the Lord to move and work in your life and be what He wants to be, and by His grace cause you to be what He wants you to be, if you're not been walking with the Lord, this is the day to yield and surrender to Him afresh and to cooperate with Him. And make sure that you're following the divine connection that He gave you at salvation. Because He's promised so much more than what we're walking in. But He wants this for you. He's left you here on earth for a reason. And the reason is to bring Him honor and glory. And so we're fixing to pray right now. I'm starting to pray for you. And as I start to pray, if you're here and you're giving your life to Jesus, you come forward right now. Just go ahead and stand up and come forward and tell these precious people, I need Christ. And they'll pray for you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're a believer and you've not been cooperating with the Lord, you need Jesus. Okay? There's power in His resurrection that's in you that we're not responding to. So come and be a part of what God's saying and what God wants to do in your life. This is a new day. It's resurrection day. There's no greater day to come for prayer. If the prayer people up here are busy, you just come on up here to the front. Don't wait. Come on up here to the front. We'll get to you as soon as possible. Lord Jesus, we just bless this time in Your name. We pray great grace. Lord, thank You for Your love that's flooding this room. Thank You that eyes of hearts are being opened to see You as You are. Lord, we receive what You're doing and we declare Your word to be true. We choose You today over ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.